All right. Happy New Year, everyone. Hope everyone had a wonderful Christmas. But, you know, when we have Jesus in our lives, it's going to be wonderful because Jesus makes everything right. Amen? Amen? And if you don't feel that way, then you need to get close to Jesus. You need Jesus in your life because he makes everything right. He's the hope giver, the light bringer, the peace of the world. Okay, now I want to let you know that there is hope for 2024. There is hope. I want you to look at my opening statement with me, and I've got Kathy putting up several of my thoughts on the screen. For those that are taking notes, you can take a picture of it, and then you'll have it. You'll have it for your notes. So look at this. As we are about to begin a new year, the future may look frightening because of the darkness and chaos in the world. But take heart, for there is always hope in God. Jesus is the light of the world, and he is the hope of the world. So if we follow him, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. And if you're fearful, then you need to ask God to take away the spirit of fear from your life and to help you to have that hope and peace and trust in God. Because when you fully trust God, you will not live in fear. If your trust is in God and you know that he's taking care of you and you know that he works all things for your good, Romans 8:28. He works all things for your good, no matter what you face, no matter what happens, no matter what comes against you. You know that God's going to work it for your good. You know that God is with you. You know that he's taking care of you. And it brings such peace. And it brings hope. We just have to trust him, no matter what's going on in the world. We don't have to live in fear. The world lives in fear. We don't have to because we have Jesus. Now, here's a tip for the new year. Never put your trust in people. They'll let you down every time. You'll be disappointed. They may be wonderful people, but people are going to disappoint you. Don't put your trust in people. Put your trust in God. Just trust God. Pastor Corey used to get so tired of me saying that back before he was a Christian and when he was a new Christian. And he would be saying these things and be all stressed out and, oh, all this stuff happening. I would just say, Corey, you have to trust God. Trust God. And so if we can get to that point, and he finally got to that point where he could trust God because he wasn't able to trust his earthly father. So he had a difficult time trusting his heavenly father that he could not see. And there's a lot of people in that same situation. But once we learn to fully trust our heavenly father, then we can have peace, and we can know that everything's going to be okay. All right, so you don't want to trust people. You want to trust God. Proverbs 29:25, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. Do you know that? Trusting the Lord means safety. He brings safety to your life. He keeps you safe. He's your strong and mighty high tower. Look at Psalms 46:1-2. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be afraid. No matter what's going on around us, no matter what's going on in our life, we don't have to be afraid. God is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our safety. So, we see turmoil, tragedy, chaos, and evil on the earth. But we don't have to live in fear. We can still live in peace. We can have the peace of God in our lives if we trust God. But we see so much. I forgot to spit my gum out. So I got to spit my gum out right quick. I'm always forgetting to spit my gum out. Okay, I'll put it in my Kleenex. Well, it gets in my way sometimes when I'm talking. Okay. Now, I'm so glad we're informal around here. Okay. Now, we see one example I wanted to talk about today of the chaos and the tragedy and the evil in our world today. Our example is Israel. Israel being attacked by Hamas. And look how so many in the world are, they're not on the side of Israel. They're not supporting Israel. Israel was attacked and murdered, and people were murdered and raped, and babies were beheaded and put in ovens, and all these evil, evil things. Terrible things. Demonic, demonic things that they did to Israel, to the Jews. But, you know, the world and the God of this world, the devil, twists everything and calls good evil and evil good. And so there's many in the world today that are pro-Palestine and that are against Israel and for the terrorist. Hamas, or they are terrorists, they are evil, and they are murderers. But so many, even people in our government, are pro-Palestine and anti-Israel or anti-Semitic, anti-Jew. And that should not be. If we want our nation to survive, we better support Israel. And we better pray. We are God's people. We are the church. And we better pray. And I'll talk some more about that in a minute. But look at that example. Just that one little example alone. And that's a pretty big example because all that's going on right now. And they continue to be attacked. But they're fighting. They're fighting to annihilate the terrorist. And the terrorists need to be annihilated. They need to be brought down. The wicked need to be brought down. And this is what God says about it. In the book of Obadiah, there's one chapter. Verses, he's one of the prophets. This is one of the prophets in the Old Testament. Verse 13 through 15. You should not have plundered the land of Israel when they were suffering such calamity. You should not have gloated over their destruction when they were suffering such calamity. You should not have seized their wealth when they were suffering such calamity. You should not have stood at the crossroads killing those who tried to escape. You should not have captured the survivors and handed them over in their terrible time of trouble. The day is near when I, the Lord, will judge all godless nations. As you have done to Israel, so it will be done to you. All your evil deeds will fall back on your own heads. And this brings me comfort. You know, that brings you comfort? Yeah. Yeah. Because that means the enemies of God, the enemies of Israel, and the enemies of the Christians, the enemies of the Jews, those enemies, what they're doing and the attacks and the all that they're doing against God's people, woe be to them. It's going to boomerang and it's going to come back, as it says right here, their evil deeds will fall back on their own heads. So we can have hope in God. He always has the final say, doesn't he? God always has the final say in everything. He has the final say. And he will judge the wicked. And he will help the righteous. We'll talk about that some more in a minute too. Okay, now Psalms 122, 6 through 7. Pray for peace in Jerusalem. May all who love this city prosper. O Jerusalem, may there be peace within your walls and prosperity in your palaces. So God has commanded us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, to pray for Israel. And whenever God told Abraham, I'm going to make from your seed a great nation, and those who bless you will be blessed, but those who curse you will be cursed. So we are to support Israel. We are to help them. We need to pray for Israel, pray for the Jews. They are God's people. And we, as the church, have been grafted in, and we are God's people. So pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And pray against the devil. He's the enemy. And he causes people to do some evil, evil, wicked things. But they're coming down. Their day of judgment is coming. And it's coming soon. Now, here's another thought from me. Look at the condition of our nation. There is evil abounding, and good is called evil, and evil good. I believe with all my heart that God is going to turn this nation around. But we, as the church, the ecclesia of God, the remnant, had better pray and intercede for this nation. Because God expects us to do our part. Don't expect to sit back and do nothing and expect God to do everything. That is not how he works. That is not how God works. He's called us, and he's given us a job to do. And there's three keys to that: prayer, submission, and obedience. We need to be a people of prayer, and we need to pray this in this new coming year in 2024 like we've never prayed before. We need to up our game when it comes to prayer. And if you have a prayer language, if you pray in the Spirit, you pray in tongues, you better do it more than you ever have before. Because it's crucial. It's crucial. We are fighting the hordes of hell. We are the church. And it is up to us. It's our responsibility to push back the powers of darkness. God has given us that responsibility. And we must do it through prayer, submission to God, and obedience to his word. When we're submitted to God, we can resist the devil and he will flee. But if we're not submitted to God, then we have no power. Submission to God and obedience to his word gives us power. So what do we need to do for 2024? Okay, I'm going to tell you this cool story that happened. I was seeking God about what I was going to bring, the message. Pastor Corey felt led for me to do the last message of the year, to do New Year's Eve. So I said, Lord, what am I going to talk on? I don't know. I'm not a prophet, you know, so I'm not going to prophesy into what's going to happen next year and all that. You know, I would love to be a prophet, but I don't really have that gift of prophecy. So anyway, and I've been praying about it, and then the next day, this was a couple of weeks or so ago, I still didn't have anything. And so I asked the Lord, Lord, give me something. Give me the message that you want me to speak on. Give me what you want the people to hear. And so I was going to be working on my message the next day on Saturday. So I went to bed, and lo and behold, I had a dream. And what I'm about to share with you is what God gave me in the dream. And then I woke up from the dream, and it wasn't time to get up or anything. It was during the night. And I woke up from the dream, and then all these things started going through my mind, and he gave me the rest of it. So God gave me this. This is a prophetic message from God. This is something we need to do. This is what we need to live by for 2024. Because this came from God. I had asked him and he gave it to me in a dream. I love it when God does that. I just love it. And he does. You have to ask. You have to ask. And you may not hear the answer right away. For whatever it is you're asking God, you may not hear the answer right away. But don't give up. God will answer you. He will eventually answer you. So, growth. That's what he gave me. Growth. Now, of course, our church needs growth, but so much more important than that is spiritual growth. Individually, each one of us individually needs spiritual growth. Every one of us needs spiritual growth. We need to grow in God. And we're going to take a look at the word growth letter by letter. G, God's guidance. We need God's guidance in our lives, especially for the next years ahead. We need his guidance. Look at Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. He will instruct us and teach us in the way we should go. That means he will give us direction and guidance in what we need to do, what we need to say, decisions that we need to make. He'll give us guidance. Ask. You need to ask. Ask him for guidance. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So it takes trust in the Lord. We need to trust him. And don't lean on our own understanding. Don't rely on your own understanding. Don't rely on your own intelligence or your earthly wisdom. But rely and lean on God and his wisdom and his guidance. And he will show us which path to take. He will give us that direction and that guidance that we need through the still small voice of the Holy Spirit who lives inside us, telling us, you need to go this way. You don't need to go that way. You need to do this. You don't need to do that. Listen to that voice. And you always follow the peace. Follow the peace, because God will give us peace with his will, his direction, his guidance, whatever he's telling you to do. That will be accompanied and followed with peace. So you follow the peace. R, righteousness. Psalm 34:15. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. We are the righteous of God. And how do you become righteous? Well, first of all, you have to accept Jesus as your Savior, but you must be submitted to God. Some people accept Jesus as their Savior, but they don't necessarily live for him, and they're kind of wishy-washy and halfway in the world and halfway trying to live for God. That it doesn't work. It doesn't work out at all. So we need to be fully submitted to God. And faith. When you have faith, God sees you as righteous. Because it says in the Bible that God counted Abraham as righteous because of his faith. Because he saw those things that were not, and he called those things that were not as though they were. He spoke faith. And God sees you as righteous when you walk in faith. When you speak faith, when you declare faith over a situation, it may be negative and it maybe looks like it's just going to be the opposite. But you start speaking faith and you start speaking the word of God and you declare the will of God over that situation. And God sees you as righteous when you do that. We need more of that. We need it. We need it for the coming years, days, however long we're here on this earth. And we don't know. None of us know how much longer we'll be here. But God knows. So trust him. So speak faith. And be submitted to God and walk in obedience to him. And you will be a righteous person. So we need righteousness. We need more righteousness in our lives. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And the Bible also says, when the righteous are in rule, the people rejoice. There's blessings. There's prosperity when the righteous are in rule. But when the wicked are in rule, the people mourn. I think our nation has gone through a time of mourning because there are many wicked people in rule right now. And we need to pray that that changes. We need to pray that righteousness will be exalted over this nation so that our nation will be blessed, so that our nation will be protected. We need to pray for righteousness to be exalted. And I always pray that righteousness be exalted and that the wicked be brought down and defeated, and every plot and plan of the enemy will come to nothing. It will be defeated in the name of Jesus. We must pray. We must intercede. We must do spiritual warfare because we're living in perilous times and we are living in the last days. So we have a job to do, y'all. But we must grow in God to accomplish what God's called us to do. We must have spiritual growth. That's why he gave me this in my dream. Okay, the next one is obedience. Jeremiah 7:23. But this command I gave them, obey my voice and I will be your God and you shall be my people and walk in all the way that I command you that it may be well with you. If we walk in obedience to God and to his word, it will be well with us. We will live under the blessings of God. Remember, and I've taught on this several times, this has been in a lot of my sermons, obedience brings blessings. But disobedience brings a curse. It says in Deuteronomy and other places, we need to walk in obedience. We need to live in obedience to God and to his word. And you have to know what his word says in order to live in obedience to it. So that means you need to read your Bible. You need to study your Bible. You need to meditate on it. You need to know what the Bible says. And you need to make it a daily part of your lives. It's crucial for us to survive. It's crucial. Now, 1 John 5:2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. They are not burdensome, the commandments of God. You may feel like, oh, that's such a burden. I don't want to live under that. No, you don't understand. If you feel that way, you don't understand. His commandments are not burdensome. They are freedom. They are freedom. We live in freedom when we are obedient to God. We live in freedom when we live according to his word, the Holy Bible. It brings freedom. So, walk in obedience to God. Seek his will for your life. Now, W, wisdom. Psalm 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, to fear God is not a bad thing. To fear God is a good thing because it's talking about here, when it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it's talking about a reverent fear. Having reverence for God and awe. You're in awe of God and his goodness and his greatness. And, oh, he's just almighty God. And you have a love for God. That's the fear of the Lord. And you want to obey him. You want to serve him when you have a fear of the Lord. And it brings wisdom. It is, this says here, it's the beginning of wisdom. And you keep going along that path and your wisdom will grow. It will develop. And look at the next verse, James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. So if you need wisdom, ask God for wisdom and he will give it to you. Ask for wisdom. But we need wisdom in the day and time that we live. We need God's wisdom, not our earthly wisdom. That's not going to help us. The wisdom of man is as foolishness to God, is what the Bible says. We need God's wisdom, heavenly wisdom from above. So ask for it if you need more wisdom. And I think we all can use an extra dose of wisdom from time to time, don't y'all? I know I do. I need more. Okay. T, truth. T, truth. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Of course, we just talked about last week how Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way to heaven. If you want to go to heaven, Jesus is the only way. The world says that there's many religions and many paths to heaven. Well, that's a lie straight from hell. There is no other path to heaven except through Jesus, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible says no one can come to the Father except through him. Now, he is truth. Jesus is truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this is talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is truth. He is our truth. Next verse, John 8:32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So many people are deceived. So many are deceived. They're deceived and blinded by the devil, the deceiver. But when you know Jesus, when you come to know Jesus, you fully know Jesus, and you're submitted to him, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus is the truth. You need to know Jesus because he is the truth. We need more of truth in our lives. We need more of Jesus in our lives. Because we need his truth to be able to make it and to not be deceived. Even the elect will be deceived in the last days, says the Word. So we need more truth. More truth of the Word. The truth is in the Word. And we need more of it in our lives to not be deceived. Now, the last letter, H. Humility. Humility. Proverbs 22:4. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Okay, so look at this. Here's fear of the Lord again. We need fear of the Lord to be able to have humility. And look what it brings. It brings riches, honor, and life. So we need humility. We need to walk humbly before God. James 4:10. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Pride will bring you down every time. But if you walk humbly before your God, have a spirit of humility. Don't think you're better than you should. But give all glory and praise and honor to God. The Lord, he deserves the glory. He deserves the honor, not us. We must walk humbly. And if you are humble, if you humble yourself before God, he will exalt you. He will exalt you. Pride will bring you down, but humility will exalt you and promote you. So if you want promotion from God, you must be humble. And that will bring spiritual growth. This is how we can develop spiritual growth. And let's look at these again. Kathy, you can put it up now. G, God's guidance. R, righteousness. O, obedience. W, wisdom. T, truth, and H, humility. This is how we need to live. This is what we need to further develop in our lives to be able to overcome anything and everything that the devil will bring against us. to be able to overcome all of the things in this world that so many have been deceived by, to be able to overcome and to live in the truth of God, to live in accordance to His will for your life, and to know what His will is for your life. This is how we need to live, and this is what we need to develop. We need to strengthen all of these areas in our life so that we will have spiritual growth, so that we can overcome anything, and so that we can have hope in every circumstance, every situation. Now, I want you to look at my final statement with me. As we begin a new year tomorrow, that's tomorrow already. Tomorrow, 2024, let's seek Father God. What is His will for our lives in the coming year? And pray, not my will, but yours be done. Make His word a daily part of our lives. Study the word, meditate on the word, and pray the word. It's the most powerful way you can pray is to pray the word. We need to know what the word says. It needs to be our guide. And last but not least, pray, pray, pray. Develop a prayer life. His truth will guide us. His love will sustain us. And His peace that passes all understanding will keep us through Christ Jesus our Lord. We will never be more fulfilled, content, and happy than when we are in the center of His will. That's how you find happiness, contentment, and fulfillment, is being in the center of His will. He is our hope for a joyous and blessed new year. He is the hope. Jesus is the hope of the world, the light of the world, the peace of the world. And we need to invite Him to be more in our lives, a bigger part of our lives. So, if you're like me and you want spiritual growth from this day on and for the future, and you want spiritual growth in your life, then stand with me and let's pray. And God loves these kind of prayers, and He will answer. And you know, another thing that a thought the Holy Spirit brought to me. You may ask for things, and you may think, well, God doesn't, I mean, you know, God never fails, and God is always with me and all of these things, but He didn't answer my prayer. But you know, you have to wait on God. And you have to trust Him. Because just because He didn't answer your prayer in the way you wanted Him to, or in the timing that you wanted, did not mean He's not going to answer. Because He answers according to His will. And His will is perfect for our lives. To be in His perfect will, like I just said, brings fulfillment, peace, contentment, all those things that the world can't give, nothing else can give, only through God and through being in His will. And He knows what's best, and He knows what's down the road in your future. And so just because He doesn't answer the way we want or when we want it or whatever doesn't mean that He doesn't love you and He's not with you. God never fails. He never fails, and He never will. He loves you, and He will answer according to His will what is best for you. Because then when we look back on it, we say, wow, God really knew what He was doing. I'm glad He didn't do what I wanted. I'm so glad He did what He knew was best for me. So we have to, comes back down to trusting God. You got to trust Him. So Father God, today, on this last day of 2023, New Year's Eve, we make a new commitment to You, a deeper commitment, oh God, to seek you in this coming year, to seek your word, to do your word, to let it be our guide, to do your will, to walk in obedience to you, and to be submitted to you fully in our lives. That means we ask you for guidance. We ask you, what is your will? What is your plan in this, oh God? I want to do your will. I don't want to do my own. I want to do your will. So Lord, help us. And we submit to you, and we say today, by standing before you here today, that we want spiritual growth in our lives. We desperately need spiritual growth in our lives, and we want your will. So, Father God, we say, not our will, but yours be done. Your will be done in our lives. Your will be done with our future. Your will be done in our families. Your will be done in this nation, oh God. And we thank you that you are a delivering and healing and saving God. And we thank you and we praise you and we give you honor and glory today, oh God, because you deserve all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And we thank you. And we thank you that you're going to lead us and guide us into all truths in the coming year and years to come that we're here on this earth. And we make a dedication to serve you and to walk in obedience to you and to your word daily. And to be in the word daily. And we thank you for all that you've done and for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.